As you're gathering back in, I would just like to say how much of a privilege it's been this weekend to hang out with your students. If you don't know these kids, shame on you. You should get to know every one of these students that's been here this weekend. They've been amazing. Some of them I met last year, and I can tell a difference in some of their lives. I think it was Tyler that prayed last night for a meal, and I was like, man, I want that kid just to be the Trent. Was it Trent? Yeah. Started with a T. You know, that kid should just be the guy you call on to pray. You've got some maturing, growing up, genuine Christ followers in this group, and you've got seekers, yeah. And I'm looking forward to next year. Maybe I'll let the cat out of the bag. JV's already asked me to come back and hang out again, so if it's okay with you guys, I might be here next year. Might? All right, well, this weekend, we had a theme verse. And I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but my fan club with these shirts are going to stand up, and we're going to read this verse together. I will say a few words, and they all have this verse memorized. It comes from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. Let love be
genuine.
Abhor what is
evil.
Hold fast to what is
good.
All right, sit down. In case you couldn't understand that last verse, love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. As we work through the message today, you will hear elements of those verses in today's message. We've talked about being genuine, being a genuine Christ follower. And on the Friday night message, we talked a little bit about why do we have to say genuine Christ follower? Shouldn't you say, hey, I'm a Christian, and that be enough? It's kind of like saying, I'm a Christian. But because we have, you know, everybody's a Christian, and we have kind of good Christians, and we have better Christians, we have to say genuine. And I struggle a little bit with having to have a qualifier, because I think you're either a Christian or you're not. You're either a human or you're not, right? And let's maybe illustrate. I want to talk about maturity today, but I want to illustrate. Well, wait, I want to do something. I've been asked to do something, play a video. This week we talked, last night we talked about hating evil and loving good. And I want to tie this together with a little bit of maturity as well. Hating evil and loving what is good. And I talked about my cats. And yes, it is streamed online because it's my daughter's cat. She lives in Ohio, and I, like, dissed her cat. And when I got home, I looked on Facebook. She said, I was watching. So, Alexis, if you're watching today, I don't know if we're streaming or not, but we're going to talk about cats again. You know, to me, cats are disgusting. You know, they eat their food, and they throw it right back up on the floor. They, you know, do all this stuff. But cat poop is really disgusting. The litter box is just disgusting. And so this is kind of how we illustrated loving good and hating evil. Watch this video. Now, I had a brownie here last night that had, like, chunks of walnuts on it, and it kind of looked like it was a cat poop brownie, and one of the kids ended up eating it. But the difference between being a genuine Christ follower and a mature Christ follower, I think, can be illustrated with, well, let's have Ralph pick up Caleb, and stand up. I thought I'd pick on one of your elders this morning. All right, now, which one of these two is the most genuine human being?
Oh, Caleb.
Definitely Caleb. Okay, but I think we can all agree they're both genuine human beings. Yeah. Which one is the most mature?
Caleb.
Probably. Yeah, now, which one of these probably has poop in their diaper a little more often than the other one? It better be Caleb, right?
Bad example.
Yeah, bad example. All right, sit down. No, the difference between a genuine human being as a baby and a, you know, a mature, more mature human being is they act differently. It doesn't make Caleb less a human because he poops in his pants or does other disgusting things like spits all of his food out or whatever. Yeah, maybe it doesn't make, okay, I won't go there. And so the difference I want us to look at for a little bit this morning is just because you as a Christ follower have a little bit of crap in your life doesn't mean you're not a Christ follower. But as we mature, as we grow up in our faith, we will not need the diaper change quite as often. And so this morning, we're going to talk just for a few minutes about Christian maturity, what it is, what are some signs of it, and then what would be the result of you as a youth ministry and you as a church, you as a personal follower of Jesus Christ, what would the result of maturity be? If you have your Bibles, we're going to read quite a few verses together this morning. The first one we're going to read through is Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Okay, I'm in chapter 6, so that doesn't work. Verses 11 through the end of the chapter. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And then if you keep reading in chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from the dead, works of faith towards God, and of instruction about washings, laying on of hands, and resurrection. Some verses about maturity. Now, you're at a little bit of a disadvantage because you haven't heard all three messages leading up to this point. So I'll try to refer back a little bit. But we've talked about just what is a genuine Christian. We've talked about to be genuine, we have to allow God to take off the old life. If you look in Ephesians chapter 4 and 5, talking about taking off the old life, changing the way we think, and then putting on the new. That's vital. It's not about just an experience, just a prayer, and we've got it. It's about life transformation. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, talk about transformation and changing the way we think, renewing our mind. Then we will know what God's will for our life is. So this morning, let's just look through some scriptures and talk about some characteristics for a few minutes of mature people. There in those verses I just read, verse 11 of chapter 5, mature people listen and learn. Know-it-alls aren't really mature. I don't need to hear what you have to say. I already know it all. I've been guilty of that. There's even when I'm in church, sometimes I listen to the preacher and I hear them talking, and I'm like, I know it better than he does. I don't need to listen to him. What is he going to teach me? That is not a very good sign of maturity, even if you do know it all or know more than whoever's trying to teach you. You should still listen because we can learn. Scripture says even from the mouths of babes, you know, from little kids, we can learn nuggets of truth. Mature people listen and learn. Here Paul says, you have become dull of hearing. We've been teaching you the same thing over and over and over, and you're not getting it. Sometimes when you hear something over and over and over, you kind of forget that it's there. Anybody have that experience? growing up, a mile from our house was a train crossing. And every hour or so, day and night, trains come through and they would just lay on the horn and you could hear it. When we moved there, I was like 8 or 9 years old. Man, all the time it would wake you up at night just hearing that train, ooh, and go through. Well, after we lived there about 10 or 11 years, people would come to our house and at breakfast they'd be, man, that train. How do you guys sleep? We're like, oh yeah, that train. Because we heard it so much, we just didn't listen anymore. Sometimes I think that's a symptom of the church. We hear it all the time, over and over and over. So we hear it, but we really don't listen. Maybe to help us understand it, men, next Sunday afternoon is what? No, it's not Valentine's. That's 2 weeks. Super Bowl. See, that's why I didn't say girls. They didn't know it was Super Bowl. No. Hey. Right? Okay. So, well, I'm going to lose control here this morning. Maybe I should be preaching back by the door. No, anyway. Next Sunday afternoon, us guys will be sitting on the couch, sitting in our man cave, doing whatever. And our wives are going to be, we're watching the game. And our wives are going to be in the kitchen. We're going to hear them, but we're really not going to hear what they say. We're going to hear the noise, but we're so focused on this. And we've heard that voice for 20 years. So we just learned to block it out. Anybody guilty, don't raise your hand because your wife might be sitting next to you. Paul is challenging the Hebrew Christ followers to put into practice what they've been speaking into their lives. Mature people listen and learn. Verse 12, he says, you should have been teachers by now. You know, we have poured into you. We've invested into you. We've trained you. You should be training other people. But what do we have to do? We have to go back and say, 1 + 1 = 2. We have to go back and say, here's the basics. You're not listening. You're not learning. You're not growing up. Mature people should be leading and teaching other people. You still need milk. What if Ralph, the only thing he drank all day, every day, the only thing he ate was milk? Do you think he'd be the big old husky man that he is? Would his beard be nice and luscious? He probably soaks that puppy in milk. Just, no. No. If all we're doing is eating the milk, if all we're doing is listening to the simple things, which there's nothing wrong with that, but if that's just where we live, we're not going to grow up and be strong and mature in our faith or in our human life. Verse 13, mature people get good at life. Paul says, you are unskilled in righteousness. We've been teaching you and pouring into you, but when you go out there, your life does not reflect that you are a Christ follower. You're unskilled. You go out there and you haven't put off the old and allowed God to put on the new. And as we mature in our faith, we will get skilled in righteousness. So it's not just 1 hour on Sunday morning or 1.5 hours if you have a guest speaker. But it will be 24/7. You're skilled. Whenever you're at work and a tough situation comes up, you don't explode and fly off the handle and get mad and tell people off. But no, you're skilled in righteousness and Jesus' love comes out of you. When you're at home and your parents are just writing your case, you don't yell back because you're skilled in righteousness. When you fail 8th grade and you can't go on the mission trip, you don't get mad at JB because it's not his fault. You just go back and work through it. Or whatever's going on. You, as you mature, you're going to become more and more skilled. Now, how many of you have never run a chainsaw? Wow, we have like a... Okay, I have a place for every one of you then. The first weekend in April at Roxbury Camp, we're having... No, it's not cleanup weekend. It's lumberjack weekend. We're just going to cut down trees. So since you're also skilled at chainsaws... First weekend, we're going to have food Friday and Saturday, and we're going to have some competition on Saturday afternoon. So Lumberjack weekend, there we go. But no, is anybody one of these people that takes a chainsaw and carves those little totem poles or whatever out of a log? Anybody here do that? No. A little bit? No, we can take a chainsaw and we can whack it down or cut it up. But we're not skilled like those craftsmen. It takes practice and growth and training and somebody speaking into our lives and showing us how to do things. We've got to become skilled in our life. Verse 14 says that you will be discerning, knowing the difference between good and evil. You'll be able to look at your own life, not at somebody else's. Because, you know, discernment is real easy when you're looking at somebody else's life. Like when you look at JB. You know he's not very wise because he likes Clemson. He's got to grow up. You know, we've been ragging on him all weekend about being a Clemson fan. And, you know, they're a fluke. Once they get to almost the state, you know, the national championship, and he thinks they're like ready for the Super Bowl. But what does maturity look like? This is part of what it looks like. Discerning, looking at our own life. And seeing that little poop, that little bit of crap that's in our life that does not honor God, and on occasion it comes out. And we can discern, ooh, I shouldn't have that. God, take this old out of my life. Change the way I think about it and put in the new. In chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, mature people can handle tough things. Mature people can handle tough things. Milk is just being taught because that's all that you can handle right now. Paul is saying, all I can teach you is do this, don't do this, the basic rules. And rules are okay, but let me ask you a question. How many of you make up rules for your kids just so you can give them a spanking if they break it? Oh, one. Pastor Walt, you need to talk to one of your elders. No, we don't make rules just so we can whip our kids. We make rules, one, to keep them safe. But when you look at your kids and they're obeying the rules, doesn't it make your heart like, yes, and you just want to bless them? I think God makes rules for us, rules for right living, so he can bless us, not so he can play a big version of whack-a-mole. And sometimes we have that image of God as he's up there with the big hammer just waiting to whack us because we have that little bit of crap in our life that needs to be taken out. We can be discerning of that, and then we can be ready for the harder things, the deeper things, the life change things. The stuff like taking your Sunday school faith, which is incredibly important. The kids are downstairs learning about Jesus on a very elementary level. Some of you here today, you may just be learning about Jesus on a very elementary level because you haven't been around the church much. You might not even be sure if you want to go to church. So you're just investigating. So Sunday school faith is vitally important. But if you've been in the church for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, you should be way beyond Sunday school faith and be towards holy living and allowing God to just move you around wherever he wants you, and have you speak his love to people. That's that being skilled in righteousness piece. So God does not give you rules so he can judge you. He gives you rules so he can bless you. And sometimes those rules are difficult. I know growing up, there were things that I felt like I shouldn't do, and we'd talk to our parents, and other people, other good Christians were doing them. Like, and that makes it difficult. God, how come they can do it, but I can't? Well, I had to take my mind off of that. I have to continue to do that. Take my mind off of why can't I do it because they do it, and just say, okay, God, this is the life you want me to live. You're probably protecting me from something. And even though it's difficult, I'm going to grow up and not complain. Then if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there's another verse about growing up. 1 Corinthians 13, 11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and when I became a man, I put away childish things. How do kids think? Selfishly, right? It's all about me, daddy, 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 daddy. Go to Walmart. Oh, man, don't go to Walmart with your kids. That's a horrible experience because they want everything because it's all about them. They never put stuff in the cart for you. But when we mature, we quit fighting like little kids. We quit wanting our own way. And when I talk about the church, I'm not necessarily talking about Crossroads Church. I'm talking about the global church. The global church has gotten really good of picking sides and people wanting their own way. That is not the sign of maturity. There's a lot of things we could talk about when we talk about maturity. But I want to just really pick on one more this morning. And it's something I talked to the kids a little bit about yesterday. There's a lot of mature characteristics, but maintaining unity in the spirit is huge. And yesterday we talked about it in this way. The Romans passage tells us to honor one another above ourself. And really what we taught the students was you need to, from Matthew chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, when you're at the altar, when you're at church, offering your offering to God, worshiping Him, and you realize somebody else has something against you, Jesus says, leave your gift at the altar, stop worship, stop what you're doing, and go find that person and get reconciled. Make apologies. Submit yourself to them. And here in Ephesians, the first verses I read, in verse 3, it tells us that we need to be, as a maturing person, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Part of maintaining the unity of the Spirit is being willing to go to someone and say, look, there's something wrong between us. I'm sorry for my part. Unity is something that the Spirit brings. We are not to create the unity. God creates unity. As God brings His body together, He brings together a unified body. But when we don't mature, when we don't grow up, we begin to tear down that unity. And Paul says, maintain it. Do everything you can to maintain it. There's a camp director that I really enjoy hearing his teaching, and he lives in some name I can't pronounce, Germany. His name is Peter Reed. And this is what he says about the unity of the Spirit, and I think it's so applicable to the church. He says, too often, we do not maintain the unity of the Spirit. Rather, we create alliances of the flesh. We do not maintain the unity of the Spirit, but we create alliances of the flesh. And that's because you don't like the way JB leads music, but this person does. And you find other people that don't, and you find other people that do. And then all of a sudden, you've got these two fighting factions. Or you don't like the color of the walls, or the youth group's too loud, or this or that or the other. And what happens too often in the church, we get aligned with each other, wanting our own way, wanting our own preferences. And then somebody else, they form their own team. And rather being unified together, advancing God's kingdom in our world, we're just fighting in the four walls. That's not mature. You know, I had three kids. Two against one. It's just, two of them would always pick on the other one. I was the middle child of three. The other two picked on me. Rather than be a unified family, I mean, sometimes that's, there's good-natured ribbing. But sometimes in the church, we show our immaturity because we fight over things that don't matter. We need to allow God to grow us up and tear down those alliances of the flesh and unify us in the Spirit. Now, I don't know what's going on here at Crossroads. Maybe you guys are the most unified church there's ever been. There's not a single issue. Your pastors don't talk to me and tell me what to teach. So if you're dealing with friction, I don't know. But when there's two people together, There's friction. Can be. Except in my marriage. My wife and I are just perfect. Almost 26 years. I haven't caught Pastor Walt yet, but I don't know what you need to be unified around here at Crossroads or in Strive Student Ministry. But if you're working against each other, you need to grow up. If you're working against each other, you need to just grow up. Because that's not very mature. You need to go to each other and apologize and allow God to bring unity and destroy the fleshly alliances that you may have created or you may have become a part of. You need to commit yourself to maintaining the unity that the Spirit of God brings. And you need to ask God to give you love for each other and honor for each other, even if you disagree. You need to be willing to serve in a way, even if you disagree with what's going on. And I'll give you an example from my life. My grandfather, he was on the church board, and across the street from our church, a house came up for sale. And some of the church board thought it was a great idea to go buy that house and make it another parsonage for another staff member. Well, my grandpa and two or three others on the board didn't think it was such a good idea because a parsonage can be a money pit, a liability, whatever reason. And over a period of time, they investigated the house. They debated whether or not it was a good idea. They went on and on. And there was this group of people that said, no, we shouldn't do it. This group of people that was in favor of it. Well, the group that was in favor of it, when it came to a vote, they won. And they went and bought the house. Well, the house needed cleaning, updating, painting. I'm not sure what all it needed. And so they called a work day. They said, on a certain Saturday at 7 o'clock or whatever time it was, everybody that's willing, show up at the new house and help us work. Well, you know, this debate had gone on for a little while, and my grandpa was not in favor of spending the money. But at 7 o'clock or whatever time they were supposed to be there, my grandpa was the first one sitting in the driveway waiting on that house to be unlocked. That's Christian maturity. It's okay to have disagreements, but when the decision is made, it's not time to keep fighting. It's time to join forces and march forward in unity to take our world for Jesus Christ. That is maintaining unity in the Spirit. Another sign that you are maturing. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 13 tell us that we need to listen and follow the church leader's teaching. God has given you your church leaders, your pastor, your associate pastor, your Sunday school class teachers, your small group leaders, your elders. God has given them the authority in your church to teach you. So you can grow up into maturity and be equipped to go and share the gospel. A sign of maturity is that you will listen and follow your church leaders. There's a whole lot of other good church leaders out there. You're not supposed to submit to me because I'm not your pastor except about 10 people over here. My church came and joined us today. But you're not really supposed to submit to my authority. You're not supposed to submit to that favorite TV evangelist authority for your teaching and training. This is your church. Students, JB's your youth pastor. You're to submit to him and listen to what he has to say when it comes to your training and maturing. So the question is, are you allowing your pastors and your teachers to equip you, to challenge you, and are you allowing them to speak into your life even when it's difficult to hear? Are you allowing them to challenge your immaturity and guide you towards a mature faith in Jesus Christ? Rebelling against godly teaching is not a sign of maturity. Now, it's okay to question. In fact, a couple years ago when we were thinking about starting a church out at Roxbury Camp, one of the first things that we came up with was a little t-shirt slogan. And that t-shirt slogan says, "Questioning faith, finding biblical answers." We want people, when they come to our church, to know it's okay to question. It's okay to ask the question. It's okay to say, but wait, what about this? But we're also committed to the other side of that, is looking into here for the answers. So it's okay to question. Just question with the right attitude. Seeking answers, I believe, is a sign of maturity. Taking your Sunday school faith and making your own core belief is essential to becoming all that God wants you to be. So the final question I have for everyone and for you students for this weekend is why? Why be genuine? Why hate evil and love good? Why serve each other? And why should you want to be mature? Why? Isn't it more fun to be a kid? Isn't it more fun to be immature? I'll give you the one example that at Roxbury, we do a fireworks display. Right, we're actually up to 3 a year now. But 4th of July, we do about a 35-minute huge firework display. We had 1,000 people or so last year on the 4th of July. And if you don't have any place to go, bring your camper out, and all you do is walk out to the field, watch the fireworks display, and go right back to your camper. You don't fight traffic. But we keep fireworks, like, really big at the camp. And we have a new employee. Well, the other day, missionary cabin, the water was frozen up. And this new employee was upstairs making sure the pipes weren't broke and working around. And Mick, Elder, my right-hand man out at the camp, we said, let's go get a firework. So we go get one of these fireworks. We set it out beside the cabin, and we make sure there's an opening in the trees for it to go through. They make like 50-foot diameter explosions and all of those lights and stuff. And we light that thing, and then we go watch through the window. And then it goes boom, and it takes off, and then it explodes again at about 300 feet in the air. And boy, like, silence in the cabin. All of a sudden, he comes running down the stairs and looks out at the propane tank. He thought the propane tank in that cabin had exploded. Now, is that mature of us? You see, I think it is mature. Because an immature person would have thrown the firework inside the cabin. Maturity is not about being boring and not having fun. I mean, JB, what a boring life he must have. He sits in his office and smokes a pipe and studies theology all day, every day. And that, wouldn't that be boring? Maybe for some people. But it's not about being boring, but it's about being mature. So why maturity? Real quickly, three things. One, Ephesians 4:14 tells us, you need to be mature so you're not tossed here and there, to and fro, by every wind of doctrine. Well, you hear somebody teaching this, so you believe that. You hear somebody teaching this, you believe that. But you become stable. You should be mature so you can be stable. James, in James chapter 1, it tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So allow God to mature you so your life can become stable. Isaiah 26:3 says, God, keep him in perfect peace whose mind is fixed on you. If you will fix your mind on God, if you'll fix your mind on Jesus Christ and allow him to grow you up and mature you, he will keep you in perfect peace and stability. Christian maturity brings stability. Second reason to be mature, so you can be equipped. An immature young baby or child cannot be equipped to overcome all the obstacles that an adult has to face. And when you're young in your faith, you're not really equipped to overcome everything that Satan's going to throw at you. But as you become more and more mature, you will become more and more equipped to kick Satan to the curb when he comes and fights your life. And then the third reason I believe you should be mature in your faith is because when you are mature, you get to reproduce. Church is becoming good at that, Pastor. 20 babies in the nursery is a possibility? Amazing. But we are challenged by Jesus in the end of his life, before he went back to heaven, go and make disciples. Matthew 28:18-19. We are commanded to reproduce our faith. And an immature Christian, just a nominal Christian, is really not going to be able to reproduce. But as we become genuine students, as you become genuine, As you live your faith, not only here at church, but at home, and at your lunchroom table, and on the playground, and of course, you don't go to the playground now, right? You go to the practice fields or wherever. As your faith becomes genuine and becomes who you are, you will reproduce. There's some of you that are here tonight or today that weren't here last year. I don't know if it's because somebody else in this youth group has started bringing you along, but reproduction is normal as we mature. So, be stable, be equipped, and reproduce. So, what if you as a youth group and as a church choose to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit and allow Him to bring maturity to your life and to your church? What if you become a place where alliances of the flesh are torn down and unity in the Spirit is the normal? What if you hate evil and you love good? What if you have no hint of evil at any place in your life? And what if you honor and serve each other above yourself? Do you suppose that this would be a place known as a safe place? Do you suppose that the people outside these walls would know that you are God's disciples because of the way you love one another? Could your communities and your families be transformed because you have chosen not to be a Christian, but to be a genuine Christ follower? May the God who is love bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and bring you peace. May your life perfectly reflect the image of Christ into the world that He has placed you in. God bless you.